Hey there, editing and producing Adam here with a quick note. This is an episode that was recorded with all four of our player punks in one room. I was the only one who wasn't there. It was great. It was also maybe a little bit on the chaotic side in terms of the space there. And we had a couple of hardware issues on their end that we didn't notice in the moment and only really came out while I was doing the edit. So I've done my best to fix it all up. I think it's going to be totally listenable, but there might be some sudden changes in volume or tone that reflect those hardware issues and, you know, the difficulty in working with them kind of, you know, being recorded in one area. Particularly, apologies to patrons, if you are listening to our peaks, there were more significant issues there. I've done what I could to try and address them. I think they'll still be you know, good listening, but just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to Dice Punks, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, the Frontispiece 4, Tama, and Apatia face off against Goliath and Akumiko in the basements. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
Hello, I'm Kato, being played by Drew, and fuck damn shit damn fuck.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Cal Armitage, which is... Kato, what's my job title, since you always groan when I say it?
Loss prevent... You know what, no. Ooh-woo pantser liquidation... engineer.
No, I'm just going to say loss prevention specialist to you.
Hi, I'm Dez, and I'll be playing Matchstick, who watches the loss prevention specialist still.
And hello, my name is Nick, and I will be playing Ing, who is an android and until recently a drone operator, but that's not so much the case anymore.
Yeah, a lot is going on, which I think we'll get caught up with our recap of last time, this time courtesy of Ing.
Well, we've really done it this time. We're in the tunnels beneath the station, looking for Apatia, who sent a distress call before going missing, with a being her cult calls the Machine God. Also, it turns out Apatia is the head of a cult. Anyway, we eventually stumbled across an android that had been sent to assassinate Lou Tupper. They were amicable enough now that their target is dead, and it turns out that they know Apatia and wanted to help find her. So, Likeable joined our search party, and also discovered that Likeable only wounded Tupper, and it was Cal who finished the job. I'll unpack that later. I transferred control of the autonomous collective of drones over to Tran, and she got us through the seemingly impenetrable door. I admit that I'm scared that I'm going to lose her forever, but I'm so goddamn proud of her. And if she needs to go her own way in order to reach her full potential, I don't want her to be without her siblings. Further down the halls, there were other revelations. We found Apatia alive and tending to a very sick and medically fragile Canopus Hiryu, who apparently had a big hand in constructing the Dreamers to begin with as a cartel experiment trying to create a slave race of artificial intelligences that then rebelled. A disembodied voice that might be Ramirez warned us that Atlas is descending on our location in force and told us to get the fuck out of there. We decided leaving Canopus wasn't an option, so we had taken him with us. Now we're being chased by a spider tank, Goliath quadcopters, and God knows what else, while Leapers, the Machine God, and Kitbash constructs are own interference. This may be the end of the Frontispiece 4. I suppose we'll see.
Marvelously done, especially given how much there actually like was to summarize in terms of details. You did a really good job of, I think, getting us where we needed to be effectively and quickly. So many thanks.
Thank you.
We rejoin our player characters in a corridor of the basements under Silicon District, faced on one side by one airborne Goliath quadcopter drone and one tackled by Kitbash's on the floor quadcopter Goliath drone and a downed Kumiko on the backside. You know, the thing we ended on was some Goliath personnel using amplification to yell in an Australian accent down the vent at you about surrendering because they have your faces on tape and, you know, can presumably use that to make your life miserable. I assume it's obvious to players and listeners alike, but of course there is a problem with that claim, which is that two of your number are using holographic projection armor and one is using Laughing Kid. So, but yeah, we rejoin our action mid-combat, very gracelessly, I'm sure, right there. The last couple things that happened were Cal shooting Kumiko again, and Tama moving to sort of cover the vent that the drones have been coming in through with her highly illegal bullpup rifle, and take it away, players.
All right. Well, I've got one quadcopter in my hand. I'm not sure if this is possible, but can I swing that quadcopter at the other to try to clear the way?
You could slam it into the other one's on the ground. So I guess if you are...
Oh, there are none specifically in the air?
The one in the air is the one that he's holding on to. The one on the ground is the one that fell after it.
Okay.
If you are not concerned about the well-being of the kit bashes on the one on the ground, then you absolutely could swing the one that you're holding into the one on the ground. And it would just be a tough roll.
Nope, never mind. In that case, I'm going to just run past the quadcopter that's on the ground covered in kit bashes. And if I can, I'll take the other quadcopter with me.
Like pick it up as you go?
No, do I have one currently in my hands where I had grabbed
You're running it? Past one, you're holding the other. You're going to keep holding the one you're holding and try to run past the one that's on the ground. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I was reading the other quadcopter as the one on the ground. My apologies. Yes, you can hang on to the quadcopter you've got and keep going. You will run past Tama, who's pointing her rifle up into the vent. You're off to the races, so to speak. Cal.
I gesture for everyone to start moving silently. Burn is closest to me, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
I hand over my gas mask and bring up the rear, providing coverage as well as I presumably pass Tama with the rest of the gang.
I put the gas mask on. It does not appear on Laughing Kid. Mm-hmm.
I proceed with the group and I continue to princess carry Canopus protectively with the large arm such that if we were to suddenly be shot out of the darkness, the arm would take the hit.
Sure. Kato, as you start moving, Apatia does not.
Hey, you okay back there?
Apatia does not respond. She is crouched very near to where you at least started moving. On the ground, sort of hands over the back of her head, elbows in close, muttering something to herself, and does not appear to hear you.
Can I grab her essentially by the collar?
Sure.
And try to move her with me?
I am probably physically capable of carrying both, if that's if she's amenable, or at least not resisting too strongly.
Yeah, I mean, if you Cal grab her by the collar and start pulling, she kind of just like does a human in person version of inverse kinematics where her legs just kind of stay under her trying to like keep her from being dragged, but sort of chaotically.
And Cato, if you want to, as everybody starts moving, kind of, you know, haul her up into your other arm, you can, though it will take a little coordination with Cal. That's totally doable.
I look at Cal, I confirm that this is the plan. And then, I become a hammock for two.
Basically. Yeah, sure. I give a curt nod and continue to provide cover to the rear as much as I'm able.
Yeah.
With Tama.
Kumiko has not yet tried to stand up, and the Goliath drone on the ground covered in kitbashes is being slowly but inexorably disassembled by the kitbashes. You pass Tama as the rear guard, and as you move past her, she starts like walking backward from the vent, sort of keeping mm-hmm. her bullpup trained on it until it's far enough away that she sort of, you know, just starts moving with care, kind of facing 90 degrees rotated from the direction of traversal to keep the you know retreating part of the tunnel where the Goliath drones were in view. Now my memory. Go ahead.
I provide rolling cover with her.
Yeah. She takes to it very naturally. My memory is that we had allowed for Likeable's preference to stay back in the chamber we had found Apatia, so they are not in evidence. But everybody else that you either came down with or encountered along the way is in your group, moving now again in the direction of the entrance that you took to enter the basements initially. Anything.
If there's anyone who I'm not worried about as far as taking care of themselves, it's Likeable. So yeah. that's okay with me for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Likeable is just so that I am not concerned.
So you move past where these Goliath drones were coming in, and you have a little ways to go before you're back in Uhuru District and up the stairs out of the basement. But for the moment, it's relatively quiet. If there's anything you want to do other than just hustle, now's the time to let me know. But if you want to just hustle, totally fine.
I text Ing to suggest that the quadcopter should be disabled. Otherwise, it may be able to transmit sound, location, etc.
And my actual face, if no one else's.
For a moment, I consider that it would be crazy to check my phone in the middle of combat. and then I remember how many people have my phone number, and I check my phone.
Yeah, so you see this message and you know, have this quadcopter still sort of like semi-flying as you drag it in one hand.
Yeah, so my original intention had been to just prevent it from doing damage and getting free and doing damage to other people. But now that we are successfully on the move, I would like to try to stomp it and smack it against the walls along the way and see if I can disable it.
All right, so that's going to be a tough roll. I don't think you really have a combat skill per se, so 2d6 plus 1.
Deleted those.
That's an 11 plus 1 is 12.
You pay a little attention to what you've got, you know, being kind of dragged along, you know, in one hand, and you've interrupted one of the four ducted fans with the presence of your hand, and most of the rest of the drone's non-structural equipment is housed on the top of it. And so you kind of have this dilemma because your other hand is flesh. But, you know, thinking quickly, you realize you've already ruined the ducted fan that your metal hand is hanging on to, and you very quickly pass it to your flesh hand, totally safe currently, due to having disabled the fan, and use the metal hand to just tear the housing off the top of the, sort of middle of the drone. Which doesn't, like, actually disable the drone, but it does take the audio and video equipment as well as the currently not deployable stun gun off the top. you know, just entirely inoperable now. So this is a drone that you figure probably has a location transponder in it, and might still be capable of flight were you to let it go, but doesn't have direct ways of recording or harming you now.
All right. Job well done.
Is there a way that I can, like, acquire access to the recording and transponding bits?
Well, the recording bits have been removed now, so no. They are inoperable. They are not connected to a power source.
Okay. That by access to, I meant, like, get my grubby little hands on so I can crush.
Oh, well, the recording bits, like, you just have to get them from Ing's hand. Transponder, if there is one, and there probably is probably still inside the housing, like it's part of the central processing unit of the drone. So it didn't get removed just now. But
okay.
Ing?
Yeah, Burn, if you approach, I hand it over.
Okay, yeah, no, I like take in my Luke Skywalker hand the recording bits and just absolutely crush the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm. They have been absolutely crushed the hell out of.
There's probably a transponder in there as well. Location. It's probably fairly centrally attached.
All right. Well, either destroy it or move on and not be where it is.
You seem to be taking it with you?
Yeah, that was just that it didn't get free, but now there's...
Okay. Yeah, no, I think destruction is just as easy a solution as any if you don't have objection.
No, I've got no indication this is sentient.
Then, yeah, I make a deliberate mess of the insides.
Yeah, something you can do while moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to where you are fairly certain that no useful information can be transmitted, you know, and disrupt the computational systems that would be controlling the rotors. And so they spin down and it is, for all intents and purposes, fully disabled, even though, you know, power supply and certain processing functions may still be working. They are powerless to affect you now. As you continue to move back toward the entrance that you came in from, Cal.
I am going to text Ramirez ?
Mm-hmm.
1049 Edward Paul, a divergence would be nice.
All right.
Ramirez would know that as heading to the entry point.
Are you requesting information about a route, or are you requesting that something be done to divert the attention of Goliath from the route you're on?
The former would be implied.
Okay.
Letting him know that we're heading towards the point that we access the basements, assuming he was aware. But a divergence is requested regardless of whether or not it's Ramirez.
Gotcha. Okay. Ramirez ? After maybe 20, 30 seconds gets back to you with resources limited. See what I can do. Keep going. This is sent just to you, as most of Ramirez ? Messages have been.
I respond back. Egress ?
Very quickly from maybe Ramirez, you get no info that Goliath is there. ... Yet. Cato, you are carrying Canopus in one arm, Apatia in the other. As you have traveled, and it hasn't been a super long time, Apatia has gotten sort of like less and less visibly like aware of her surroundings. She hasn't said anything. You know, she's had small kind of nonverbal vocalizations here and there, but that's about it. Canopus, on the other hand, now the super loud noises are not happening every couple of seconds, is less tense, but has not woken up, which isn't a great sign. Though, you know, he would not qualify to your limited medical knowledge as actually comatose currently. There's some responsiveness to stimulus, but, you know, you're not incredibly thrilled with the level of responsiveness here.
I have limited, I have quite limited medical knowledge. I have somewhat less limited cybernetics knowledge. Is there anything I can do as far as eyeballing, you know, as we keep moving, mm-hmm. whether they're functioning in a sort of broad way?
I mean, steady breathing, which, you know, comes with, there's, you can't stop to feel for it, but gotta be a heartbeat for that to be working.
Right, totally. That's good.
No outward indicators like excessive sweating or, you know, unusual complexion as far as you can tell. No tremors or shuddering. If you hadn't seen the previous response to the loud noises, you would assume this is a comatose person. And, mm-hmm. you know, I am not a physician, so I don't know what the diagnostic criteria are there. But, you know, there's at least some stimulus response here, but currently little in evidence.
And have I had any further responses from KNB or Ali or Haru?
None from Haru. KNB and Ali have confirmed that they are, like, sort of, you know, taking information that you feed them and working on getting that stuff disseminated. As, you know, time goes on, you're sort of, like, reminding yourself that, like, it's really only been a few minutes. But, you know, they don't have updates for you as quickly as you would like them to.
And also in the game.
Yeah. Well, and Haru has not really responded since your initial back and forth. You're not sure. You sort of infer that she must be, like, in transit, though exactly how or from what point to what point is a matter of speculation.
So I think just continuing along the tunnels, quick question. Nick has forgotten, but Ing would remember, where is Tren? Did she and the swarm go along the same route that we're following, or are they headed off in the other direction towards Machine God and whatnot? Second. Okay, thank you.
So not towards Machine God. They were in the room where Apatia and Canopus were, and they headed out the other exit from the one that you backtracked through. So you have not had contact with them for the duration of your journey towards the exit. And they were going in the direction where it seemed like there was more Goliath presence.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I do convey to the group that, you know, these two could be doing worse, but they could also be doing a lot better. I'm probably keeping up a small dialogue with Apatia, if not with Canopus, as we go. Just like, hey, it can be okay.
It is a little bit more of a monologue, Nick.
Yeah, I've got some expertise with hands and keeping them healthy, but the rest of the body is just beyond me.
The hand expertise could be relevant. We'll see. And appreciate it.
Let me know if there's a flesh horticulture role in here somewhere.
Not as yet, no, but I will keep it in mind.
Us with flesh horticulture and cybernetics trying to, like, you know, like, country
keep
doctor.
Keep an actual human alive.
No, I'm just a simple country cybernetic technician, but
I am having re-listened to Within the Wires recently, just thinking of the sounds of carpentry.
Mm-hmm. One of the most disturbing descriptions.
Yup.
So, Tama, once the drone is taken care of, will relatively quickly in the next couple of minutes, while sort of doing the leapfrogging, like covering, tactic with Cal, will say, so are we taking one or both of them to a hospital? And if so, how are we doing that? If not, what exactly are we doing for medical care?
Kind of open to suggestions. Getting out of immediate danger was the first step. Did we think they need a hospital? They probably do need a hospital.
Thomas shrugs one shoulder. Well, former officer here had mentioned it back in the holding room, whatever, so thought it was good to ask.
That's a reasonable question. It was just a couple of tanks ago.
Just one.
I suspect that hospital admissions will be watched.
That was my thought.
We're going to have to do some field medicine, I suspect. First step is to get out of here. There's no guarantee that Goliath won't be swarming around our egress point, but we have a friend that's working on it.
We're on mission here, right? Officially?
Yep, yep.
Have been.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spend one prep to say that in my fixery askings around, I did find someone who had a suitable space to do a little bit of field medicine, not too far from where we'd be. If not, anyone with the skills.
Sure. I'm going to leave that there real quick. Nick, you had tried to say something quite a little bit ago.
That's fine. I was just about to say something that's less relevant now, but,
I want to hear it anyway.
I would say, I think, step one's to get out of the tunnels. Step two to, I would say, hospital. This fella isn't looking good, and, keeping a corpse out of Atlas' hands seems a little pointless.
I have a possible counterproposal. I'm looking directly at Ing here. Ping Joseph. If we can keep him stable long enough that hospital admissions are less or not tracked, then they'd probably be the ones to know how to do that.
I like where your head's at, but Joseph may not have much access to human physicians. And here, if Cato chimes in, then yeah, that sounds even better.
Yeah, no, I do chime in and say, well, we do have an alternative. It's probably not quite as well equipped as a real hospital, but it's probably at least as well equipped as, you know, your average mob doctor.
So the connection that you have is a person in this end of the station on this plate that you have been aware of from time to time, but haven't directly interacted with the... Depending on your attitudes towards such things, perhaps somewhat cringy alias of First Aid Kitten. Certain among you may actually, remember this character unnamed but in evidence at the protest. Mm-hmm. They operate in and around touring ward area, and so you would be able to presumably get your kind of charges seeking medical attention to them relatively quickly. This does raise the further logistical question of, if you go out of the entrance that you took in the basement of Apacia's building in Uhuru District, that does leave you traversing a decent bit of ground. I mean, not a ton, it's within the same ward, but, you know, some ground with, you know, two fairly, well, one very and one maybe recognizable invalids, above ground to get to first aid kittens. It would be a little bit much to call it a clinic, but, you know, space.
Operation.
Yeah. So, you know, it may be worth investigating whether you can emerge closer to their operation from the basements. But if not, then, like, you know, better than nothing.
We've looked into the basements, right? Do we have a way of knowing if we can emerge closer? I mean, I'm talking this through in character to a degree.
Sure, like, yeah.
It's not without risk to get to Turing, but it's probably our best bet as far as keeping a low profile, but also having something like what we need, what they need, more to the point.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've spent the last few days mapping out most of this world in the basements.
I've walked it.
Yeah, so...
Like, it's a question of getting there through whatever nets Goliath has.
You've got the... like 80 to 85% map of Uhuru District, and you are currently traversing the way back from Silicon District to Uhuru District. Both of those are districts along with your Selden District that you've been headquartered in. All three of those are in Turing Ward. First Aid Kitten's operation is sort of on the border of Selden District and another neighboring district, not Uhuru. So, like, getting back is not a, you don't have a map, but you may have a sense, you know, of what the options are.
Yeah, it's not like we're being pursued by possibly a tank. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Well, and the further you get from Silicon District, the probably less heat you're dealing with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. If that sounds good, I think that's the plan. I let First Aid Kitten know we're coming.
Mm-hmm. You do have a contact, and you send the message. I guess how much information do you provide?
I mean, I give a, I limit myself to medical facts.
Okay.
We have two not especially responsive people. I don't list any like immediately identifying augments, but mention that we're not dealing with anybody fully synthetic or fully organic.
Mm-hmm.
And say that they definitely need a skilled hand, for at the very least an assessment and stabilization.
Good deal. So, you get an auto response immediately that basically says, you know, I'll be getting back in touch with you as soon as I possibly can. In the meantime, you know, please do continue, you know, in my direction, so to speak, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I like to imagine that there's like a sound file attached and it's just music. You're expected to play it for yourself.
Yeah, Meowzak, if you will.
Meowzak.
Meowzak.
Episode title.
We will see.
I obviously convey this to the group and nod and make sure they're both secure in my arms.
I will turn to Cato, which possibly means walking backwards, which I will do showily. You may need to change some amount of your everything if they are truthful about having caught our likenesses on camera.
To be honest, I feel like I'm overdue. All right, I'll start taking steps.
Rapid process, probably best. Yeah.
I text Gorister and ask if we have any spare faces. Assuming we have fairly secure channels with Gorister.
Yeah, I would say that you probably do. And relatively quickly, Gorister gets back to you with a sighing emoji. And yeah, probably.
All right. Mix and match, please.
Of course. It's not like that's more work for me or anything.
Appreciate it.
Right about then.
Get paid.
Right about then, you do get a non-automated message from First Aid Kitten responding to your, you know, just sort of vague high-level descriptions. And it says, right, assuming there's a reason not to go to the ER. This is sounding pretty involved, and I can do it, and I will do it whether you can pay me or not, but I would like to get paid, and it is not going to be super cheap.
As quick table talk, remind me how much cash we currently have among us.
Goose egg.
Nothing.
I think it is okay. Exactly zero.
It is exactly zero.
Can trade in services.
I unembezzled back at the frontispiece. So if we were to re-embezzle, we'd only be embezzling a little.
I do still have a hand.
I do still have a hand.
I do have that in a pinch.
Ooh.
You know, not that I want to sell my body, but it might be necessary.
Could be.
You're ending the game. For all of us. You know, I think I respond, no cash on hand, to be perfectly honest, but possibly some stuff in trade.
Got some hand in cash.
I leave that part implied, but only to us.
Oh, God damn it. You send that message, and First Aid Kitten responds, better than some patients / customers. I'll be there in 15 ETA. For the record, you don't have a really good sense of how long this is going to take to get there.
Little tough to E at the moment, but we'll keep you posted, and we're definitely on our way.
All right. Thumbs up emoji. At about this point, actually, is probably Allie will communicate to Burn that there is something going on with the, like, station networks containing the public screens and monitors. Allie and K&B have been able to post, you know, the relevant bits and pieces of what you've been providing them with as files on the internet, but the feeds to public screens actually seem to be actively monitored, like, by a person. And K&B will moments later respond that, having tuned in, it seems like whatever is going on within cartel circles, they are being very proactive. It is basically impossible that they know exactly what's going on, but they are already getting talking heads out to try to preemptively do damage control. They're talking about terrorists that were involved in that G-Pole riot, unleashing some sorts of, you know, construct weapons in the basements, and, you know, menacing the downtrodden of the downtown end of the station. This is, like, happening, like, right now. It's only a couple minutes live, but it is, like, going on, and it is limiting their access to, you know, more public proactive channels, because they are, like, in defensive mode about this, trying to make sure that, you know, they get to have their say first. It doesn't take a lot of reading between the lines to surmise that this is to try and preempt alarm at the heavy Goliath deployment to the most crowded part of the station.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not much we can do to fight the propaganda war directly, but I think I do make sure, and it is funny, I think, to picture me sort of tapping stuff away on one hand as I'm also holding two people. Make sure the Fixer Network knows to, you know, distribute the truth as widely to those who care to seek it out as it may be distributed.
Yeah, I request that they do what they can with the opportunities that are available. if nothing else, try to warn people that there is cartel fuckery afoot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Goliath folks will not treat obstacles kindly. Mm-hmm. For a broad definition of obstacle.
Yeah. You get a thumbs up from K&B and a salute emoji from Allie. Still no responses of any kind from Haru. Cal.
I'm going to update Ramirez question mark with a 1022 code for disregard the last continuing onwards.
Maybe Ramirez replies with, I'm going to say one of the codes. I don't have the wherewithal to create one on the fly that I know hasn't been used before. But a response is signaling standing by, essentially. I perceive there being broadly two options that you could take. According to maybe Ramirez, there don't seem to be Goliath presences at Apacia's building, but that would require schlepping the two folks in need of attention across the streets to the edge of Selden District where First Aid Kitten is set up. Alternatively, you could attempt to navigate through the basements to have an egress from the basements closer to where First Aid Kitten is set up. And not have to, cross, surface streets to do that. But obviously that carries the risk of traversing the basements generally. And, you are getting further away from where the Goliath presence is supposed to be, but you know that they were aware of you via those, drones that came in. So who knows exactly how safe that will be.
My vote's popping out of the basements closer too.
Second the motion.
I think the motion carries.
Is Cal objecting
vigorously?
Huh?
Is Cal objecting vigorously?
No. I already let Ramirez know that we're continuing in the basement.
There we go.
Yeah. So I would assume here that we are using for the near term Ing's maps, which are not going to require rolls to get essentially into and through Uhuru District. And then past that, probably relying on Burn's general basement knowledge, which is going to require a roll. I would love to get a clever roll. So 2d6 plus 3 for clever plus 1 for basement dweller for a total of 2d6 plus 4 for Burn. Feel free to use prep however you wish within that, if you wish to.
First, I'm going to use prep to re-roll the snake eyes that I just rolled.
Very well.
Second, I am going to argue that redacted should apply as a skill here. If this, rather than just having it be a straight-up clever roll.
I mean, it's just... just a difference of plus one if I've got your reading your sheet right. I suppose I'll allow it. It's not really the right part of the station basements, but maybe there's a network of information that you could tap into there. So total of 2d6 plus 5.
Yep. Am I correct in remembering that someone has the ability to boost a thing?
I mean, you can use prep for that.
Okay.
I have a something that if you have advantage, right, then I can
turning
turn
advantage
into
boost. That's probably similarly costed than to just boosting it directly. So I will spend a second of my prep to boost.
Smart.
Okay.
Jesus. 656
oh,
is
so
what I rolled. Yeah. But That then is 22.
Okay. Okay.
Nice.
So I'm going to do a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of time lapse here. So
sure.
Feel free to note anything after my description here that you would have been doing during the traversal time here. But between Ing's maps, Burn's knowledge, and what Burn can, you know, sort of acquire on the fly from contacts and sort of communities around the station, you are able to stick to the basements out of Silicon into Uhuru, which is about where you were when we sort of took this role, through Uhuru and into Selden, and then towards First Aid Kitten's location, including getting close to the Selden side of Uhuru, noticing that there are some mass-produced security bots kind of moving through the part of the basement that your initial route was going to take you through before they notice you, and finding a detour that avoids. These are not, for the record, the IMX drones that you have dealt with, though they
sounds like something more basic.
It is, yeah. They're a similar type of form factor with less features. I think probably Burn and Cal would be aware that these are Tetsuo products that are available even to, like, say, small business owners that want one parked in the corner of their store. More basic models, but there are quite a few of them that you manage to circumvent successfully with that excellent roll on your way to the most proximate basement exit to First Aid Kitten's operation.
I would have Kato take images of these bots as we circumvent them, and then I just forward these on informationally to Ali, KNB, and Haru. Telling Haru again, no, really, we're taking him to medical care.
You know, all of the messages that you have sent to Haru have been delivered. You have no feedback on whether they have been read, and you know they have not been responded to.
I will ask Ali, actually, if they know what's up with Haru.
Yeah, Ali just says, I'm afraid I'm not in her vicinity, and she's not replying to my messages either. Sorry.
Shit.
It probably takes a grand total of something like 45 minutes. During this time, Kato, there's really no change with Canopus, and Apatia seems to fall fully asleep in your carrying grasp there. Otherwise,
sleep is what we're working with. We'll take a sleep. Yeah, yeah. That seems okay, all things considered.
Otherwise, you know, as you kind of continue to move.
I do, by the way, take pictures, take images as requested as we move.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal. And not immediately thereafter, but in the process of getting from point A to point B, you will actually also get a message from a little bit of an unexpected source. Caleb Dryden, who had introduced himself with the alias Canopus long ago, sends you effectively an email that suggests excitement through its lack of punctuation and proper syntax, saying, I know we haven't spoken much recently, I assume because you haven't had much new information, but it looks like I'm about to
have more of a platform than I did before. So if there's any information you can share, I can take it to the masses.
As we're moving, since we have a moment of relative quiet, I share this with the group with a unnotable tone of, the fuck? What platform do we imagine?
Cartel sponsored, probably.
Almost certainly.
It then just depends on whether he's earnest in whatever flavor of insanity he's after, or whether he's sort of a cartel honeypot.
I think we absolutely avoid sharing any useful information, but if there's something it'd be helpful to have them propagandizing, we could feed them something juicy. A morsel.
Goliath is covering up their own mistakes.
And collaborating with Tetsuo.
Perfect.
If the world knew more about dreamers, would that be good or bad for the dreamers?
Depends on what things they knew.
I would say it's bad.
I'm inclined to agree, much as I hate the idea of, you know, keeping people in the dark.
I mean, what about leaking the bit about them being created as an artificial slave race? That might create more sympathy for just leaving them the fuck alone.
You could potentially say that Goliath is making an artificial slave race and attempting to cover it up without ousting the dreamers' presence themselves. Whenever there's new tech in the field, people rush to weaponize it.
Let them combine 2+2 without us giving any extra links to us and, you know, the auction, over 3, etc.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I pass essentially these 3 pieces of information, in quotes perhaps, along that the mistakes are, you know, the Goliath thing is a boondoggle that's already in the, yeah?
What is the name of Canopus's former employer? The one whose shard I got, the shard blade I got?
Yeah, the company that had hired Canopus Hear You to come to orbit was Asano, I think, if the full name was
Heavy Industries, Asano, yeah.
Heavy Industries, yeah.
Yeah, so I also suggest that Drew include that, or not Drew, sorry, that Kato include that in the collaboration piece of the misinformation.
I think that's good. Yeah. It'd be really funny, by the way, if I made my crab name Drew.
Oh, God, that would be...
Next time.
Next time.
I think we're saying the same thing. Potato, potato. Yeah, no, so I passed these agreed upon pieces of information back to Caleb Dryden. And hope to do some harm.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, he sends back a brief but appreciative message and then is gone. Presumably to a green room to get in makeup or something. But I suppose we'll find out on the backside.
Wearing a necklace of paper, getting puffed in the face with a big puff, I imagine.
In time, you emerge from the basements, only a couple blocks away from the location you have for First Aid Kitten's operation. And you make your way, you know, expediently and relatively unobserved to that location, finding it to be a repurposed storefront that has, you know, a few curtained off sort of, we'll call them makeshift hospital beds, plus like a general area in it. And a realistic looking, but on closer inspection, artificial cat perched in the front window. First Aid Kitten, as you come to find out upon entering and brief greetings, herself is still in sort of EMT garb, similar to what would have been seen at the protest. You know, she is sort of tending to other patients when you come in, but she turns and greets you and says, I think I know who we are, so I have got some beds prepared. Go ahead and put them down over there gently, and I'll see what I can do. Any new developments?
No new developments.
sorry it took longer than we thought. We played it safe. They don't seem to be worse than unconscious, but they're definitely not conscious.
She nods and says, well, not the worst I've seen. This is maybe normally chemically induced, but that doesn't seem to be the case here, so I'll see what I can find. I'm not the world's foremost expert in the cybernetics. She gestures to the, you know, augments on the backs of each of their heads and necks as you lay them down in their respective beds. Says, if anybody here can offer some insight, I'd be grateful. Otherwise, I'll do my best.
I know a lot more than nothing. Self-repairs under not ideal circumstances many times, if nothing else. And, of course, I gesture at Aang.
Yeah, I know something, and I'll contribute what I can. I'll also offer that we know someone that might be able to come in to consult.
Oh, he'll hate that. Yeah. I say, smirking.
Oh, I mean, out of character, I was referring to Bronwy.
Oh, I thought you were referring to Gorst.
I thought so too.
I mean, that too, but
Gorster might be helpful, but we keep him out of trouble as best we can. I think those, you know, we make those statements, and I'm mm-hmm. Taking them over to the beds.
Yeah. First aid kitten, who has not offered any other nomenclature by which she might be known, starts giving them once over, kind of doing the pen light test on their eyes, and rapidly comes to the conclusion that, well, it's not chemically induced, but these do seem to be conditions that have been induced either by the augments or through the vector of the augments, sort of brute forcing some brainwave patterns. That's not something I'm going to mess with, so we're going to keep them, you know, on hydration and nutrients and see if we can get them to come around. Nick?
Yeah, I think that at that, I'll contact Bronwy and, you know, just see if I can establish a voice line and fill her in on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Bronwy,
see if she can even get here.
Indicates that she'll be on her way, but in the meantime does get on voice and starts talking probably above the level of most people here with First Aid Kitten. About what might be done. Anything that we're getting up to while we wait for results here?
I likely move to the front of the store to subtly keep post and watch the streets for any activity.
I'm checking news.
I'll also send Ramirez a text saying 10:26 to let him know that we're clear.
I did not catch what Dez said a moment ago.
Checking news.
Ah, okay. Good deal. Cal, you move to the front to keep watch. You communicate with maybe Ramirez. Tama does the same. Having come out of the basements, Tama has, released the magazine from the bullpup. Taken the chamber out of the, or sorry, the round out of the chamber, got that backwards, taken the round out of the chamber and loaded it back into the magazine and stowed the bullpup so that it is out of sight once again. But she does join you idly petting the artificial cat at the front, sort of just keeping an eye on the street. Burn, you tuning into the news catch a segment where Barlow of Goliath is being video conferenced to talk about their deployment to Silicon District and making just some very vague statements about, seeing to the security of their customers. No major disruptions happened as expected. Some units were dispatched and have now been recalled. It was an abundance of caution, you see. Moving to, look at other sources, you do in fact catch Caleb Dryden on. There is no exact equivalent on station of One America News, but the closest approximation of it. He is
cool
in some really ill-fitting khakis and polo, talking about, you know, the government conspiracy and, you know, passing along some of what Cato provided, along with a lot of other, frankly, nonsense, that does, on the one hand, sort of implicate the cartel, but keeps on coming back to malcontents and agitators referred to as such, without even so much as a identifying adjective there. Call it a mixed success in terms of information given to Caleb Dryden.
I'm watching this over Burnt's shoulder.
Yeah, I do say beckon you over for it.
Mm-hmm. Agitate these nuts.
Episode title.
Alternative episode title. I think that probably some podcatchers wouldn't like that too much.
Oh yeah, no, that was not a serious suggestion.
Or just agitate these.
It's pretty good.
So, after a brief interval, Bronwy does show up in person and gets to work with First Aid Kit and, you know, actively. Probably a couple minutes after that, one of the curtained off makeshift hospital beds, the curtain gets pulled back as the occupant sort of stands up and leaves the cubicle. And Cato, you are as surprised as and Culex Entwistle is standing there looking a little wan, but otherwise hale, and sort of blinks a couple times and goes, "Oh, didn't expect to see you here. I didn't think you would still get conventionally sick."
I hope not. Didn't expect to see you here either.
No, oh, yeah, I've woke up here and have just been recovering a little bit. Genuinely been fine, but, you know, abundance of caution. And something happened to me other than just getting tased, it would seem. But it's also been...
Getting tased is plenty. Yeah, what more do you think?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe some sort of chemical agent. I mean, you know, it's been a week. I would have expected to have recovered by now, but still, voice low, hence my tone. It's also a bit just lying low. Gives you a significant nod and some eyebrows.
I return the eyebrows with probably what would to anyone else seem like sarcasm. The whir of servos that I'm sure he can hear.
Abundance of caution indeed. It's getting pretty dangerous out there.
Just so the android that helped me out was entirely pleasant, I was brought back around and in the basements, but chose to stay there for a moment, and that maybe turned out to be a mistake because then I lost consciousness again and was found and brought here. And I mean, in any case, mine's a little bit scrambled, but I am otherwise no worse for wear and looking to head out soon. What, you don't seem to be in distress. What brought you here?
I'm fine. I'm bringing some other friends who aren't doing quite so well.
I see, and sort of glances over to where the curtained off sections that low voices are coming from are. Seems to be a lot of need for this kind of thing lately. It's terrible, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can get conventionally sick, but anyway, these two seem to be kind of unconventionally sick. More to do with augments than the fleshy bits.
Well... Don't love that. No, I don't love that at all. But I suppose it was inevitable. Do you know if classes have started back after the kerfuffle?
I'm realizing. Do I know that? Yeah, I do. They have.
I'm going to say you do. Yeah, students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, return to normalcy and all that.
Well, shit, I hope I still have a job.
I would wager you do.
They love kicking you around, but I mean, they need you.
Like to think so, anyway.
Look, shakes his head. They need you. They need you. I fucking hate it when people say now more than ever, but now more than ever.
I suppose let them try to keep me out. A little bit of false bravado in that one.
Look, I appreciate that you're in the fight. I hope you feel better. You need anything?
Better now than I have been, and I think I'm probably all right. Probably shouldn't drink, though. Just your company makes me feel like we should be just having a camaraderie drink together, if you will.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong on any count there. Well, look, you know where to find me if you need anything, if things continue to be interesting.
He sort of gives an
oh, and strictly between you and me, I might not look the same for long.
Suppose you were overdue, so to speak.
I smile at that.
Gives you a nod. He says, well, I suppose I should thank my benefactor and be on my way to open up a bed. Looks at the currently four, including the two that you brought, sort of occupied, curtained off beds, and says, hope everyone here is doing all right, but we'll certainly catch up on, I suppose, the flip side? Is that how that's used?
I will look up and say, yes.
Nailed it.
Years ago.
Ah, well, having even years old slang is a bit of an accomplishment when you're my age, so. I'll take it as a win. Be in touch.
On the website, Qlex.
Gives you a little, like, false hat tip and then heads out fairly steadily, a little bit, you know, wobbly, but not too bad.
I'm going to start false hat tipping you.
I can't go ashen, but I would if I knew that and could.
I actually say this once Kulix is out the door.
God damn it.
A couple moments later, I'm going to try to make the noise that you hear. And that is your signal that Canopus Hear You is awake.
I mean, I go to him right away.
Same.
Also same.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody sort of like perks up and moves over there. And Bronwy and First Aid Kitten are standing a little bit back from either side of the bed that he's on. And he is sort of like scooched, you know, back towards the head of the bed, back against the wall, sort of looking around a little bit wildly. As he catches his breath, he sort of looks around at everybody standing a little bit back from the bed and goes, who are you people? Where am I?
We're friends. You're somewhere safe. You were kind of the worst for wear.
You were in the basements hooked up to some manner of devices. Your daughter has been looking for you. I've been helping her.
Blinks rapidly and he says, basements. What basements? Where am I?
Grand Cross, the L5 Lagrange point.
He space gets an unfocused look while you talk and then sort of blinks a couple more times and says, right, no, that's correct. I took the job with Asano. I was in orbit and why is my memory so scrambled?
I don't know.
There's a piece of technology that seems to be able to scramble memories that you may have been exposed to.
He nods.
Does the term dreamer mean anything to you?
Dreamer. Maybe. I don't know. It's in there somewhere, but is it common enough? And then he sort of shakes his head, hears the clacking of the augments on the back of his head and neck while he does that, and both hands shoot up to like touch them, and he goes, where did I didn't get these weren't mine. Where did these come from?
We don't know. We found you with them.
He starts to hyperventilate a little bit, and First Aid Kitten glares you all sort of back a little ways and into silence, and moves to sort of give him a little bit of an oxygen mask to help him calm down. And Bronwyn turns to you and says, probably need to give him a little space. I know he's got lots of questions, but we don't sure. want to lose consciousness again.
Yeah, no, that would not be ideal.
Yeah, I mean, we'll answer whatever we can answer, but, you know, safety first, recovery second, information thereafter.
I wander back off to the front.
Rejoin Tama at the front of the space. If we're kind of hanging out in the periphery while we wait to see how this all goes down, perhaps the most significant thing that will happen in the next few minutes is Burn, you will finally, I won't say hear back from Haru, but you will indirectly hear from Haru, who is currently doing a like live on one of her social media accounts from Silicon District with a bunch of Goliath people moving around in the background packing up equipment. And she seems to be in full socialite costume, but when you are alerted and tune in, she is standing there sort of like, you know, phone on like a selfie stick, you know, which tells you how hurried she was getting here, because she is of an income bracket that would normally have a drone doing this. She is saying, won't explain to normal civilians what all the hubbub was about in this, the most crowded and economically central part of our station. The disruption has been massive. The turnout of Goliath personnel is huge, and you have to wonder what exactly they're hiding from us. Goes on a little bit from there, but you get the tenor of it.
I will ping her with Tetsuo also there. Possibly Asano.
Some 90 seconds or so into her monologue after you ping her, she says, and it's no secret that Goliath is cooperating with a number of other large corporations in what's sometimes called the off-world cartel here. So we have to wonder what the interests of companies like Tetsuo or Asano might be here. It is genuinely worrying that here in one of the more happening districts of the station, I'm here doing this instead of at the party I was supposed to be streaming to you all instead. It's, not just a disruption of business as usual or, shipping or logistics. It's, all the way up to recreation as well. In any case, I'll be heading on to the party I was supposed to be attending, and I hope that you'll stick around to see what you tuned in for. But I must admit that I am worried, and hopefully it all comes to nothing, but I'm not confident. And with that, she goes to a waiting screen, a be right back with some custom art and a few chill tunes that a music producer or acquaintance of hers is promoting. If there aren't particular reactions to that from our characters, you will then actually hear Canopus say, was that Haru? Did I hear Haru's voice?
Yes. She's reporting on some cartel happenings.
He whispers to himself a couple times. Right. Wait. No, she wasn't even supposed to be in orbit.
Rest easy. We'll do our best to unite the two of you, but that can only happen if you get well.
He shakes his head a little bit. He says, I'm sorry, who are you? All of you.
You can call me Ohm.
Ohm? Okay.
Hecate.
Luke.
Revenant.
And we pulled you out of that basement, and we have every intention of reuniting you with Haru, and we would very much like for you to not pass out again right now.
Okay. So you're criminals.
I try not to smile too broadly.
I subconsciously reach for where my badge used to be.
He says, how do you know my daughter?
She entrapped me into a conspiracy to find you.
Find me? How long
have... I give him the date.
He puts his head in his hands, but doesn't pass out. The curtained off bed closest to Canopus's sort of swipes open. And I don't think anybody here is necessarily going to recognize on sight this person, but they'll sort of just jump right in, you know, without any sort of introduction. And you're looking at a relatively tall, olive-skinned woman with shoulder-length dark hair sort of like swept back, you know, from the front, who says, I was trying to mind my own business, but this got too interesting too quickly. I don't know if I'm dealing with Selden locals, but if I am, you may possibly be familiar with me. I'm Salas Sarehead. I play with Slagpie.
Yeah.
Thank heavens.
Thanks for the use of your amp.
I believe that the amp you used actually belonged to Slug Jump, and the confusion
then retract that.
Yeah, the confusion is actually not unintentional in setting, but probably Burn would have not have gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
We'll say you didn't say that part. Sala will continue and just say, I know it's probably a long shot, but I don't suppose you've seen artists Rick Harth or Ava. Our bandmates must be worried about us.
Were you one of the ones that escaped in the basements?
Escaped is an interesting phrase there, but broadly speaking, yes. I was in the basements and then brought here.
Adam, out of character, since I do not recall, is this one of the members of Slagpie who was imprisoned?
Indeed. This is Salah Serhad. The other one was Nassim Nasri.
There's been quite a furor. We personally have not, to the best of my knowledge, been in contact with your bandmates, not having met them.
She nods. She's,
you should probably try to stay low.
Yeah, something about trumped up terrorism charges will encourage that. Is this
bad and like a riot and an explosion and a change in police forces?
Not to mention cartel activity.
I had heard. So, this guy points at Canopus. Former cartel scientist? I've seen a file floating around.
That tells us a lot, frankly.
Oh, well. She takes a breath and sort of shakes her head and turns to the other closed curtain and says, "They seem cool, Nassim. I'm sure you can come out now." And there's a slower, begrudging movement behind that curtain. Nassim, sort of sitting cross-legged on his bed, and says, "Well, I suppose it's fine. They seem friendly." Though Nassim squints at Cal. "Swear I've seen you somewhere before."
I shrug a shoulder. My reputation often precedes me.
Fair that laughter enough. Is in character.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, Cannabis, we all are criminals here, I think, but that doesn't mean that we're bad guys.
Cannabis sort of looks at the ceiling and goes, "Of course not. I am trying to make sense of my memories. I pride myself on being a relatively analytical thinker, and my mind is in less than perfect condition right now, but I think I remember trying to whistleblow on something. I knew it was a risk, but I assumed they would just kill me." And then he sort of gestures to everything on the back of his head and neck.
"It is unclear. Yeah, we don't know about the whistleblowing or what that was. I have possibly some suspicions, but we did not retrieve you from your employers. At closest, something probably hostile to them and 2 degrees removed. But
he gives you an extremely blank look while you speak.
"I think you may have been trying to report slavery for artificial intelligence is being created."
His eyes unfocus when you say that, and he goes very still, but doesn't say anything. He just seems to be remembering things.
"Take your time. Look, I know it's frustrating. I can only imagine, but you don't want to try and remember everything all at once. It could actually probably be a lot. So, you know, take a moment and remember that the fact that they didn't kill you means you can make them regret it."
He's not, like, totally tuned in to what you're saying, but he sort of nods absently as though he heard you and is maybe going to think about it later. In the meantime, from kind of behind to one side of you, well, I guess I don't know precisely where Kato is positioned, but from his bed, Nassim says, "Oh, good. I got in touch with Ava. I think they're safe. Maybe we can meet up with them soon." And Sala says, "Well, that's good news. I feel like I could move now, and if we can stay away from cameras, perhaps we won't get everybody arrested."
"The rest of your band, I assume?"
Nassim. Yeah. Ava's the other percussionist. I do drums. She does everything else. Percussion-wise, that is.
"Watch out for the drones. PSS has been dissolved."
"Oh, yeah, I'd heard about that." Sala chimes in. "IMX, right?"
"Boasting only 3 human employees."
Nassim chimes in. "That seems really stupid."
"Sure would be a shame if someone got access to their networks."
"A shame indeed."
While this conversation is going on, Sala is looking fairly intently at you, Burn. She hasn't said anything. After a moment's pause, Canopus speaks up, sounding a little vague. He says,
"It was supposed to be leaps and bounds in robotics, but some of the standards were no. And then he trails off, opens his eyes again, and shakes his head. "Do you think I will ever be able to remember it clearly?"
"I've never seen something like this, but we can hope. There are likely people better equipped to assist you than those we could cobble together on a truly emergency basis."
2 seconds after you say basis, Apatia sits up like Frankenstein's monster, just like crunches at their hips from a like supine position to a sitting position, and then opens her eyes very wide, looks slowly to her left, looks slowly to her right, looks forward blankly at the wall, and then speaks in a dreamy tone and says,
"It seems that the prison is full, and the inmates are unhappy,"
and then gives a big, gleaming chrome smile and looks at Burn's phone.
"What's on my phone?"
I mean, you have the screen locked currently. It's in your pocket. Like, nothing is on your phone. Pulling it out, you look, there's no notifications. But in terms of open apps, the one you were using to tune in to Haru's stream is, like, you know, not on the screen, but not closed. It is the only unclosed app you've got on the phone currently.
I would have closed that, but
I suppose apologies for the fiat.
Fair.
iOS and Android don't exist in this universe, so exactly how it works is maybe left as an exercise for the listener. Nick, you had raised your hand.
Yeah, well, just as a small detail, I go and put my flesh hand on hers.
Okay.
Makes it sound so weird, but she does not, to be fair, that's only because it is.
Yeah, she does not particularly react here. She does seem to be a little bit out of it. I suppose that the way I'll square the circle here is that your particular iOS on your phone, Burn, allows you to close apps but have them in like the recently opened list, you know, at the top of the navigation thing. And so it is not like still running or anything, but it is like the most recent thing you had going.
Okay. Yeah. I will. And, go ahead.
Assuming that you sort of pull it back up to see what Apatia is responding to, what you have is a feed from Haru's phone still attached to the selfie stick, allowing it to lie on its side where it is dropped on the ground, showing her protesting unintelligibly but audibly from about 20 feet away as Goliath wrestles her into their version of a squad car.
I will just forward the whole thing to Allie and Canby.
You do so, and then a foot comes into frame with a boot on it, and a hand reaches down and, like, you know, turns off the stream from the phone.
And I will disconnect from the stream.
Indeed. And then close the app once again. When you turn back, Apatia is sort of looking at the ceiling. And she says in her sort of dreamy tone, "It seems the time has come for the new children to depart their creche. They must make a journey to the pathway that will lead them through the sky." And then she opens her eyes and sort of blankly smiles at everybody until her gaze sort of comes to rest on Cato. She blinks a dozen times very rapidly and then focuses and says, "Wait, I thought we were in the basements."
"We were. It wasn't going well."
Is it going better
now?
"You
were suborned again. It may be.
Oh.
We've acquired one friend and lost perhaps another. Hopefully also temporarily."
Sala and Nassim have been sort of looking on curiously but quietly. But Nassim will speak up and say, "Sorry, I think I recognize your outfit. Are you Apatia?" And Apatia turns to Nassim and says, "Oh, but, well, yes, I don't know that we've been introduced." And Nassim says, I punched a guy who hates you." And Apatia goes, "Oh, there are a few of those, yeah."
I nod approvingly in the corner.
I nod approvingly as well, mostly because we're now making sense.
Mm-hmm. Nassim goes, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think it pulls out his phone and sort of taps a few times and pulls up a sort of like news, like magazine, like broadcast show. The guy that Ing had had an altercation with, and that Bronwy had distracted, like a friend of, in the parade, is being talked to about the, and this is what the Chiron says, "Android scourge on Grand Cross." You know, again, sort of the rough equivalent of like One America News Network, kind of going on here. I am trying to remember if we had gotten his name before or not, but it is displayed on the Chiron, Jaren Hales.
I put a hand on Ing's shoulder.
Apatia says, "Oh, no, I recognize him. Yeah, he paid for sex one time and then got really angry." There is an awkward silence.
I say that after the awkward silence.
I do a good job of pretending like I did not hear any of that.
Apatia, looking around, goes, "A lot of things to catch up on, I suppose, but is everybody okay? I didn't hurt anyone, did I?"
I avoid eye contact.
You bit Cal again.
Apatia sort of slumps her shoulders and goes, "Oh, well, I'm sorry. She sort of falls back on her bed and looks at the ceiling.
No, it's okay if you've got favorites. I mean,
I look at Ing with absolute shock and confusion.
I look at Ing with like a teenagely salacious smirk. She might break her teeth on you, dude.
No harm in trying.
I walk back to the front.
Nassim says, does anybody mind if I tell our bandmates to come meet us here?
No, I call from the front.
So long as you tell them to, like, you know, try and avoid cameras, maybe take different routes.
Nassim sort of nods and Tama goes, are they gonna bring their instruments? I'd just like to hear them. And Nassim goes, no, not this time, no. Cal?
I was just gonna say what Luke said from the front of the store.
Gotcha. It's reiterated. And Nassim says, well, I mean, at least a couple have countermeasures, let's call them. We'll make sure they're, you know, careful. Just, this is out of the way and it's enough space. And it seems like, we've been close to crossing paths for a little while.
Yeah, I'd also say that the people that were with, I mean, us for that matter, we're trying to keep a low profile. That goes without saying, but... And I'm sure that your band members can be trusted, but there's a lot of heat that would come down on you and us if anybody discovered that we were here.
Nassim kind of nods. In the meantime, Sala has been looking at Burn this entire time, with varying degrees of intensity, depending on how much of her attention is elsewhere. Cal?
Do I pick up on the staring?
I mean, you're in the front, so I guess it depends on how much of your attention you're directing back towards where everybody else is.
I think a key point is that I am paying more attention than I pretend to be.
Fair enough. Let's say you pick up on it then.
I would probably move to stand at that point between Burn and Sala.
So around about the point of conversation,
I will roll my eyes at you directly.
I ignore it directly.
At about the point in the conversation where we left off, then you move in between, and Sala finally sort of shifts her gaze to you briefly, and then looks more casually back at Burn, and says, "Do you have any siblings? I feel like you seem familiar."
To the best of my knowledge, no.
She looks considering for a moment and then nods and says, matter for another time, I suppose. But, I'm gonna take a risk here. Have you all encountered any of the so-called dreamers?
That is... precisely Burn's reaction there.
You know what? I actually think that being Burn's reaction makes a really good thing for us to end the session on. Wasn't exactly my plan, nice. But I'm going to take the opportunity when it presents itself, and we're going to end our session on that laughter. I can't think of a better way
better
to do
that
it.
Than just pause.
Shit.
Yeah. I think that everybody can get one experience point this time. Honestly, you had a lot less trouble extricating yourselves from the basements than I thought.
This does also complete my personal goal.
Yeah, no, thank you. I would have forgotten, but you are absolutely correct. Everybody can get not one, but two experience this time.
Mm-hmm.
That is very appreciated. Thank you. Yeah, you absolutely.
Burn's fine. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So 2 XP for everybody this time. And that will conclude this session of Dicepunks. So thank you for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you all join us again next time. If you're hearing this now, then you probably know where to listen to this, but you can find us almost any place one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com and on Tumblr and Blue Skies at Dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks back on Earth, players.
Thanks for listening. Nowhere to go in an emergency.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Do you know where your kids have been hanging out lately?
Thanks for listening, folks. And if someone you've never met before thinks they recognize you, no, they didn't.
Thanks for listening and joining us in space. For the patrons, you can join us at the space bar for a space drink after the show.
Space drinks available only to people over space 21.
I enjoyed the concept of space 21.
It's different. Well, time's relative.
Probably space 18 on Grand Cross, if I had to guess. Mm. For now, at least. Depending on the outcome of the 2020 election. And as the poet once said, the ants are in the kitchen, the mice are in the walls, this noise in my head could make this building fall. I've got to get out of here, and I've got to get out now before I crack. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around through the admin stuff for an invocation. The music in this episode, Augmentor Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their other work at the link in the show notes. Editing on our rad new cover art was done by Joanne, who's appeared on the podcast now and again. Check out her work around the internet where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics for Dicepunks.com are by the Revenant, Robin. Hardwired Island is by Paul Machevic for Erling's daughter and Minerva Jonda. You can find Hardwired Island at etten.itch.io/Hardwired Island. Links to the system and authors can be found on the Punk Remar section or our website, dicepunks.com. Thanks so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who you think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available to backers, including a patron-only Discord and access to the Dice Peaks After Show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
It's been a long time since I've prayed in earnest. If God exists, there isn't a single orthodoxy that I've found that says androids have souls. If I do, no just God would spare me from the fire, and no kind God would put me face to face with anyone I sent to paradise. That seemed like the end of that, and I've moved on in my search for meaning, but maybe I was too hasty. Maybe that was missing the point, because I've finally got people I care about. People with souls, if souls exist. Byrne, and Cato, and Gorister, Bronwy, and Abatir, and Cal. Maybe I can pray for them, even if I can't join them. Cal had her reasons. He and I are responsible for at least one child's death, each. If a parent comes calling after something like that, can I really tell them that they're wrong, and I deserve to live? Did Lou? And yet, what happens next? Maybe what happens to the killer's killer? What happens to the killer's killer here and now and in the next life? God, I call upon you or any divinity that's listening. When the flames of vengeance burn down, I pray that enough of Cal remains to save. When the hate runs out, help her weather the black hole crush of grief. In this life, help her remember that she still breathes. And when she departs, ease her pain, if I've already been shut down and can't be there to help her. I ask that you help Byrne. Open his eyes to the family he already has, not just the one that he's lost. And find the strength to bear his fear of being connected again. I beseech you to help Cato to stay one step ahead of the law, because as far as I can tell, she always steps in the right direction. God, please spare and care for my friends, when our roads part for whatever portion of eternity is afforded to us. Amen.
Hey there.